In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, the third Sunday of the Great Lent, and we call it Sunday of the Prodigal Son, the Lost Son. And if you see the wisdom of the Church during Lent, to look at Lent as a journey, the Gospel from the Sunday before Lent was the reading of the three pillars of the faith, that is fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. The Church tried to tell us that you ought to get ready because you are going to a journey, and before you go to a journey, you must have with you all the things that you need, the food, the drink, the money, and the equipment that will help you to go through your journey and arrive safely to your destination. That's how the Church prepared us from that Sunday, through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And of course, if someone never gave to the poor and he does not give during the time of Lent, I'm not sure when will he give. By giving, we never talk about money only. We talk about money, about time, about love, about gentleness and kindness, and all the different gifts that God has given you so you can share with everybody. After that, the Church is telling us that you have to look at these pillars of faith to be treasures. The second Sunday is Sunday of the treasures. And how can you lay up your treasures in heaven? Do not wait for anyone to commend you or appreciate what you do. You will not worry about this because you know that whatever you do, something good on earth, it will be like treasure for you in heaven. A human being could forget. God does not forget. And after that, the Church tells us that you have to be ready when you go on your journey, like you are a ship that's sailing in the sea. You may find many storms, tribulations. So we talk about the Sunday of temptation, and they tell us that we as human beings could go through hard time. And as I mentioned last week, going through hard time, tribulations, and temptation, it doesn't mean that we are bad. The Lord Himself went through temptation. So He wanted to set up the example that we should go through the narrow door, not the wide open door that can lead to destruction. We go through the narrow door and the hard time so we can really get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven. That's why God will call it, you will inherit. It's a kingdom. And as you know, back in the days, the king used to give his sons and all his children his kingdom and all the treasure that he has. And that's what God has in mind, to make you share with Him His inheritance, the kingdom of God. And that's why we follow the Sunday of temptation. We talk today about the prodigal son. And when we talk about the prodigal son, we can look at the story from many different views, like the father was so kind and gentle and loving and has been waiting for his son. We can talk about the elder son, who was very aggressive, not knowing the good things that he has. He was living in the palace of his kingdom, the kingdom of his father, and did not even enjoy it. And he was very upset that his younger brother received some gift from his father. And we can also talk about the younger son, the prodigal son, or the lost son. And we can talk about how much sin can do for us. And of course, we can spend so much of time talking about each one of those, but reading the scripture today, I found there's something really very, very strong that we should all know and hear about. This story, really, if you read it carefully, it talks about love and hope. Love and hope. How is that? Look at the sin first and what it did to the prodigal son and anyone. And as you know, for example, from what you heard in the scripture today, the sin can cause at least four effects on human beings. Number one, it could cause impurity and poverty. As you heard the scripture today that said, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He was enjoying the richness in his father's house, but now he can't find anything, even the pods, the husk, the kharnoub, that the pigs were eating, he cannot even eat. Number two, the sin can cause guilt and hunger. And as you hear the scripture, when he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Sin can make you very hungry, not only in food, because some people can go too far in sin and lose their job or lose their identity and lose their life. It can take you far away from the real life with God. Sin can also lead to loss. As the scripture said, the father said, he was lost and now is found. And finally, which is the most strong and really difficult one, sin can lead to death. And again, the scripture said, for this my son was dead. My son was dead because he was living in sin. And that's where, if you look at all of this, you find that we have some problem here. Serious problem with someone who is living far away from the church. But how can we deal with the problem? Please keep in mind, there is no problem that has no solution. The only problem that doesn't have a solution is the problem that you don't want to have a solution for. Every problem has a solution, because God exists and God loves you so much and you are His son and daughter. The only problem that does not have a solution is the problem that you don't want to solve. You want to live with the problem and that's it. You don't want to open your heart and mind to hear the other things that can lead you to living peacefully with God. You don't want it. This is it. You close your doors and you shut your senses and that will be it. And of course, everybody talked to you about the solution. Say, no, there is no solution. Why? Because you did not give yourself up to hear the good commandments that's coming from God. But there are so many easy ways that you can do to help yourself with a problem. For example, again, learning from the scripture. Number one, you sit with yourself. And as you hear the scripture today, the prodigal son, what did he do? It says, when he came to himself, he sat with himself, reviewed what he did, and then he opened his heart. And number two, he took a positive action. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Take a positive action. Sit with yourself, evaluate yourself, review yourself, then get up, meaning equip yourself with the armor of God, the armor of salvation, as St. Paul said, and get ready now to take the most important step, which is confession and repentance. Again, in the scripture today, the prodigal son said, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So there is hope in all what you do. All what it takes, few simple steps. Sit with yourself, take a positive action, and confess your sins. So where's the love side? This is the hope side, that you know someone is waiting for you. You will find many important things. Number one, that you are very special. You are very, very, very special to God. How special you are? God gave up His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay your debts. That's how special you are. God, the King of Heavens, left heaven, came down, incarnate, took flesh, became man, and died on the cross for you. Died on the cross for you. Number two, in addition to being, you are very special, you are loved by God. And I can't find any good verse. There's, all of them are very good verses, but in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, St. Paul said one very strong verse. He said, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You are very special. He came especially for you. You are loved. And He left heaven and came down for you, even if you are in sin. And number three, you are forgiven. God forgives you from all unrighteousness. In the first epistle of John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He is faithful and just. He is ready all the time. All what He is asking for, that you take the step, take the positive action, and come forward and confess. And that's why the hope and love, as you can see it here, He is waiting for you. It's like someone stretching His hand all the time. 24/7, His hand stretched out for you. He does not want to take it out from you. You are the one who takes your hand away from God, but His hand never left you. So all what it takes, your job now, stretch your hand, put your hand in God's hand. That's all what it takes. And that's why St. Paul in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11, he explained the process of forgiveness. He said, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. So what that means? You were washed through the blood of Christ. He came, He died on the cross for you, so He can wash your impurity through confession and through Eucharist, communion. When you become part of Him, you abide in Him and He abides in you. You become one. You become strong. You go back to the same image and likeness that God has created you. We should not talk about sin anymore in the way that we are now have no hope. No, you do. You have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now you are ready to be with Him. He gives you the opportunity to be with Him. He gives you the opportunity to live with Him, abide in Him, and cleanse yourself and wash yourself all the time. That's why the second step that St. Paul mentioned, sanctification. Actually, from the moment you were born again, like in baptism, when you were a child, God make you different. And I said this one thousands of times, and I am sure now you know by heart, to be different is not wrong. I am now a royal family. I belong to God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I am one of His children. I am different. We should teach our children that we are different. Being different, that means we are different because we are God's image and likeness. We are His family, we are His royal family. We will be with Him and inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's called the kingdom, meaning you belong to the right and one and only true King. And that's why the third point is justification. God will declare that you are no longer guilty. That's why you receive the absolution in confession. Like you are born again and again and again. Doesn't mean we'll not commit a sin. No, we commit the sin because of our weakness, but we always have hope in God. We do not sin because we want to sin. We sin because we have our human nature that's weak and we have lots of temptation from the outside world and from the devil. But we always have the hope. And that's why when the prodigal son came to himself and he said, I will arise, I will go to my father, what happened? His father was waiting for him, standing on the roof, looking all the time where my son will come back. He never lost hope. You could get lost in sin, but God never loses hope in you to come back to Him. See, in chapter 15 that we read today, starting from verse 20, it says, the prodigal son arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. See the great love in the father that's waiting for his son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's rejoice. Let's be happy that he came back. Every minute and every day and every time you come back to God, any time that you do something wrong and say, no, I shouldn't have done it. I am really sorry. I say to my friends, to my family, even my colleagues at work, to anybody, that moment where you say I'm sorry from your heart and you really mean it, trust that God will accept it. Because remember, the sacrament of confession is called confession and repentance. That means you did it before. You confessed to your loved ones that you are sorry for what you did, then you came back to make the practical step. God, here is what I did, and I'm here to ask for your forgiveness, and you give me an absolution so I can get new or regenerated again. God is waiting for you, the Father. That's what God said. This parable here, God said it himself, he's speaking of himself, has been waiting. He has compassion all the time. He never and never and never stops loving you. God never stops. Why would he create you? And as we were talking the last couple of Fridays about the angels, and we look at how the angels come and help us right away, and I give them the example, if you are walking in the street and somebody attack you, and there is a police officer right beside you, would he help you or leave you alone? He said, no, hold it, let me call President Bush, and then he will call the governor, and the governor will call the mayor, and the mayor will call the station, and then the chief of police will give me a permission. Would the officer wait to go through this cycle? I don't think we'll be alive by this time. What would the officer do if he sees someone attacking you? Would he jump to help you out or not? Yes? So of course. Exactly the same way, when you say, Archangel Michael, help. He knows the will of God, that he loves you so much. The moment he asks for help, he will run to your help, because he knows God loves you so much. So the story of the prodigal son is the story of love. It shows how much God loves you. He's been waiting for you, had compassion in you, and he ran and fell on your neck and kisses you the moment you come back. The prodigal son did not go and kiss his father or even dare to hug him. The father is the one who went and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him and hugged him. That's what the father is, and what all fathers and mothers here should do. We are waiting for our children to come back all the time, and we are never ever worried. And that's why God said in the book of Matthew in chapter 9, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Sinners. God is waiting for all of us to accept this fact that no matter what we do, we are sinners, and all what it takes to come back. Come back to him and confess your sins and tell him, God, I have sinned against you. How many times we go far away from God, and how many times we try to put our minds in things that do not belong to God, and how many times we try to even challenge God. God is not even looking at all of this. He's looking for one thing, that you take this step. Remember the 3 steps. You sit with yourself, you take a positive action, and you confess your sins, and trust that he is always and will always be waiting for you. Glory be to God, now and forever and ever. Amen.